This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, all parties that engage you to do before the honorable court of justice, Delaware County, now sitting in the General Superior Court within Fulton County of the North Court, drawn near to your attendance, you shall be heard. I'll say the Commonwealth is with the court, that you may proceed to court now in session. Morning,
good morning.
Commonwealth versus Karen Reed, 22117.
Okay. Good morning again, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors. I appreciate everybody's commute today. It took everyone, I'm sure, a lot longer than we all anticipated. But we thank you for being here, counsel. I do have to ask you those same three questions. Was everyone able to follow the instruction and refrain from discussing this case with anyone yesterday? If everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively, were you also able to follow the instruction and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, read anything about this case since we left yesterday?
No.
Everyone said no or shook their heads.
All right, thank you very much. Could we have Officer Saraf, please?
Morning, Your Honor.
So I'll remind you, you're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
Cheer. Yes, sure. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Officer Sheriff.
Good morning.
Is there anything that you would like to change or amend or modify about your testimony yesterday that you thought about overnight?
No.
Did you discuss your testimony with any person between the time you got off the stand yesterday and coming back to the courtroom?
No.
Officer Sheriff, I want to ask you a question about, or a couple of questions about something called a dispatch log. You know what a dispatch log is?
Yes.
What is a dispatch log? Can you describe it to the jurors?
Just notes saying what time calls come in and sometimes a short synopsis of what happened on the call.
It's an official document generated by the Canton Police Department, correct?
That's correct.
And it's kept in the ordinary course of business?
Yes.
It's created at or near the time of the event that it's recording?
Yes.
And it's supposed to be accurate?
Yes.
Is that yes?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
And in fact, what it has is the dispatch details of the event that's in question. Whoever, whatever officers show up, what time they show up, the order in which they show up, the location to which they're dispatched, things of that nature, correct?
Yes.
Have you looked at the dispatch log in this case?
No, I have not.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
This has been pre-marked as Exhibit 27. Take a glance at that and tell me if you recognize that document.
Yes, sir.
How do you recognize it?
It looks like the log in question.
Okay, so that's the dispatch log for what date?
The 29th.
Do you see your name somewhere on that dispatch log?
Yes.
To the right, one of the three officers that was called to the scene?
Yes.
And that looks like the dispatch log for the call out that you were testifying about yesterday. Is that right?
That's correct.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I publish this as we...
Yes.
Discuss it? That is really small font. I'm going to make my approach one more time.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not an eye contest.
Better with not.
I am, I should say. Oh, look at that. The magic of technology. All right. You can either look up on the screen or look at the dispatch log that's in front of you. I'll try to look at the one on the screen, but my eyes aren't that great either. If you look to the right, there appear to be three entries for the dispatch of the officers that were on the scene about which you testified yesterday, correct?
Yes, sir.
And in fact, it has this dispatch log shows that you and then Officer Mullaney and then Sergeant Good all arrived to 32 Fairview that morning within 7 seconds of each other, correct?
That's what it says, yes.
It actually has Officer Mullaney arriving first at 6:09:26. You see that?
Yes.
And you see that it also has 3 seconds later at 6:09:29, you arriving. Is that right?
6:29, it says. Excuse me, it's 6:09, yes.
6:09 and 29 seconds.
Yes, I'm sorry, yep.
That's okay. And then it has Sergeant Good arriving 4 seconds after you at 6:09:33, correct?
Sure, yep.
So all three of you, according to the official document generated by Canton Police Department for this event, has Officer Mullaney arriving first, you arriving second, Sergeant Good arriving third, all within 7 seconds of each other, correct?
Correct.
That is completely false, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you've looked at your dispatch, your dash cam, correct? And clearly, we saw it yesterday. You arrive, and there's nobody else on scene.
Correct.
That was at about, in fact, about 6:10 a.m. that you arrived, correct?
About that, yes.
And then Officer Mullaney actually arrives after you about 6:11 a.m. Is that right?
Yes.
And Sergeant Good does not arrive, according to your own dash cam, until about 6:16, a little after quarter after 6.
Yep.
All right. So right off the bat, the official Canton Police Department dispatch log, one of the first documents generated in any investigative event, that's completely wrong, right?
The times are, yes.
Well, the times and the orders, mm-hmm. right? I mean, not only did Officer Mullaney not arrive first, you arrived first.
That's correct.
And then he arrived.
Sure.
So that's two things that are wrong about just that, correct?
Sure.
And then it has Sergeant Good arriving 4 seconds after you, which is also incorrect.
Yep.
He didn't arrive until about 6 or 7 minutes after you, right?
Sure.
All right. Have you reviewed this document in the past?
Yeah. No.
You've never seen the dispatch log?
No.
Did you ever seek to make sure that the dispatch log that's so important and so vital in an investigation was actually accurate before it was turned over to the defense, for instance?
No, I didn't.
All right, but without your dash cam, we would be relying on your dispatch log to be true and accurate. Is that right?
Other than what I'm saying that would happen, correct.
And do you think it's accurate otherwise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in order, no, it's not. Not in order, no.
Other than in the time. Order and the time that the officer's responding, is it correct in all other respects in your mind?
Can you rephrase
Sure.
Say it one more time?
Let's take away the order and the time that the officers responded. Ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the dispatch log otherwise accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Take a look at the left-hand column where it's highlighted in green. What's that address?
Highlighting green?
On the screen, it's highlighted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like,
I don't have the document.
That's okay. It says 32 Fairview.
Did you arrive to 32 Fairview Road?
No.
You arrived to 34 Fairview Road,
that's correct?
Correct,
yep.
So that even the location on the dispatch log is faulty, is that right?
Sure, yep.
May I approach you on it?
Yes.
Yep. You testified at a grand jury in April of 2022, correct?
I did.
At that grand jury, do you remember telling the grand jurors what address you actually responded to?
The lights, please.
Don't recall. What I said to the grand jury.
Would it refresh your recollection if you took a quick glance
sure.
at a copy of your grand jury testimony? May I approach you on it?
Yes.
Officer Sheriff, I've done you the favor of highlighting a page on page 9. Where did you indicate to the grand jurors that you actually arrived?
It says 35 Fairview.
I know what it says. I'm asking if it refreshes your recollection that you actually testified under oath that you you responded to 35 Fairview.
Yes.
And that is incorrect as well, isn't it?
Yes.
May I approach, Alan?
Yes.
Have you reviewed any of the other officers' reports that relate to your dispatch out to the location that you've been testifying to?
No, I did not.
Did you ever review Sergeant Good's report?
No.
Are you aware that have you ever discussed with Sergeant Good that he wrote in his official report that you responded to 32 Fairview Road?
No.
And of course, we just talked about the fact that the dispatch log lists 32 Fairview Road and not 34 Fairview Road, correct?
Correct.
So none of the initial police reports, not the dispatch log, not your police report, apparently not Sergeant Good's, list 34 Fairview Road as the actual location where you responded that morning, correct?
As far as I know, yes. Yes, sir.
Was there an effort on your part or anybody else's, to your knowledge, to mask the actual address of Brian Albert's house as 34 Fairview Road?
No. No.
All those were just mistakes?
Yes.
Over and over and over?
Yes.
When you made contact with the victim and the women that you described yesterday, did you see any evidence that any of the women had been engaged in life-saving measures?
Yes.
What did you see?
It appeared that Karen Reed was doing mouth-to-mouth on John O'Keefe.
You saw, I don't want to get too graphic, but you saw blood on her face?
Yes, I did.
You saw blood on his face?
That's correct.
You saw blood in her hair?
No, I didn't see any of
that. You didn't notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
Okay. But certainly blood on her face from having engaged in some sort of CPR activity?
Yes.
Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, you said?
It looked like it, yes.
Okay. You also saw Carrie Roberts seemingly assisting with chest compressions. Is
Objection?
That right?
I'm asking a question.
Sorry?
Objection? There's just no question.
No, he can ask it. The question hasn't been asked yet. Finish the question.
Thank you, Your Honor. Did you also see Carrie Roberts seemingly assisting in chest compressions?
I don't remember who exactly it was, but it appeared that somebody was doing...
What about the third woman, Jennifer McCabe?
They were all around the body.
Did you see Jennifer McCabe ever engage with John O'Keefe as he lay on the ground and assist in any life-saving measures? Did you witness that?
I don't recall.
But you do recall my client engaged?
Yes.
Isn't it true that Jennifer McCabe pulled you aside while my client and Carrie Roberts stayed with John O'Keefe and began engaging you in a conversation?
Yes.
And she was providing some sort of a narrative to you, correct?
Correct.
While the other two women are trying to save John O'Keefe's life, she's talking to you.
For brief seconds, I would say.
For brief seconds?
Yes.
You saw the dash cam video. Those several minutes on the dash cam video where she's standing and having a conversation with you, are those the brief seconds?
I don't know what time frame you're talking about. I'm
talking about right after you got there.
Right after I got there.
Correct. Did you ever see Jennifer McCabe do anything physically to help John O'Keefe?
I didn't see anything.
Did Jennifer McCabe offer to you during that brief seconds that you described, this narrative that she was having, this conversation she was having with you, did she ever offer the fact that she was standing in front of her sister's house?
No.
Did she ever offer the fact that her brother-in-law, who lives in the house, is a first responder?
Objection.
Sustained.
Were you apprised at any time while you were out there that the homeowner was a first responder?
Objection.
Sustained.
Based on your observations between Karen Reed and Jennifer McCabe, which one of those women appeared to be more focused on trying to save John's life in the moment.
Objection.
I'll allow it.
Can you repeat the question, sir?
Between Karen Reed and Jennifer McCabe, which one of those two women, based on your observations, appeared to you to be more focused on physically trying to save John O'Keefe's life in the moment?
At that point, it was Karen Reed.
You would agree with me, Officer Serif, that in any investigation, details matter, accuracy matters, correct?
Sure.
Reports are written in police investigations in order to memorialize observations, things heard, seen, experienced by the officers, correct?
Yes.
And generally speaking, you're trained to write those reports and memorialize those observations as quickly as possible so that things are fresh in your memory.
Correct.
You don't want to write a report about an incident that you respond to today, 2 years from now.
No.
As a matter of fact, you're trained exactly the opposite. When you respond to a scene, somewhat important, you need to get it down on paper as quickly as possible for detail and accuracy, right?
Yes.
You did, in fact, write a report, a supplemental report for this investigation, where you laid out your observations of that morning, correct?
That's correct.
These are called incident reports, correct?
Yes.
I'm holding what appears to be a multi-page document that is entitled an incident report. May I approach?
Yes.
Take a look at the tab page and tell me if you recognize what's on that page.
This, I'm sorry.
Do you recognize that? All I'm asking is, do you recognize
yes.
that as your report?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry. Did you write that?
Yes, sir.
When did you write that?
I believe the morning of.
So that would be January 29th?
That's correct.
A little bit later in the morning after you left the scene?
Yes.
And you were reflecting back on what had just happened minutes or hours before, correct?
Yep.
And you were trying to be as truthful as possible, correct?
Yes.
You were trying to be as accurate as possible?
Yes.
As comprehensive as possible?
Yes.
And as thorough as possible.
Yes.
You wrote in that report, quote, Karen Reed kept screaming, is he dead? Is he dead? She was severely distraught and not able to tell me what happened. Correct?
That's correct.
May I approach?
Yes.
There was no limit to the amount of words that you could put on the page, correct?
No.
Matter of fact, there's a ton of white space. It's left unutilized, right?
That's correct.
You could have taken as much time as you wanted to in writing this report. Is that right?
Sure.
And it was, is that yes?
Yes.
There was no reason to abbreviate anything. Is that right?
No.
And you tried to be as accurate as you possibly could in that moment?
Yes.
And put everything down in that report that reflected what you experienced and what you observed and what you heard that morning, correct?
Yes.
And the only statement you attribute to my client on that morning, just hours after the incident or minutes after the incident, was she kept repeating, is he dead? Right?
Yes.
You were interviewed by Michael Proctor the next day, weren't you?
I don't know what day it was, but I think it
would refresh your recollection to take a look at a report.
Sure.
May I approach you on it?
Yes.
Take a look at that report that's dated March 15, but reflects an interview on January 30, and then tell me if you recognize it.
All right.
Looks like his report.
Okay. So that's officer, I'm sorry, that's Trooper Proctor's report of an interview that he did with you, correct?
Yes.
And if you look on the second page, paragraph about what you stated to Trooper Proctor.
That's highlighted?
Is that I highlighted it for you, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Did you tell Trooper Proctor, let me withdraw that, ask it a different way. Were you trying to be as thorough and comprehensive with Trooper Proctor as you were in your own report?
Yes.
You weren't holding anything back in that interview, correct?
No.
You wanted to be as truthful and as honest as you possibly could?
Yep.
And as comprehensive as you possibly could, correct?
Yes.
You told Trooper Proctor that you could, quote, hear Karen Reed continually state, is he dead, as the paramedics treated the victim. Officer Seraph then seen Karen inside her friend's vehicle, correct?
Correct.
So the only statement you attributed to my client the day after this incident was those three words, is he dead, that she continually repeated. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
In the two times that you were asked to reflect back on exactly what happened that morning, on January 29th and January 30th, both times you attributed only three words to my client having been repeated continually in her distraught state. Is he dead? Right?
Yes.
And she wasn't saying that calmly, I'm assuming.
Nope.
Matter of fact, you used the word she was severely distraught. Is that right?
That's correct.
When you say severely distraught, we saw part of that on your dash cam. She was emotional.
Yes.
Upset.
Yes.
Focused on John.
Yes.
Trying to save his life.
Yes.
And asking, what was the question that she asked?
Is he dead?
Over and over and over, correct?
Correct.
Then you were asked to testify in April of 2022, April 14th of 2022, at a state-run grand jury by the Commonwealth.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Lally was the fine prosecutor who was asking you the questions, correct?
Yes.
Between the time you wrote your report on January 29th and you gave a statement officially on January 30th, between that time and when you testified in April of 2022, do you have any meetings with anybody from the Massachusetts State Police?
No.
Did you have any meetings with Mr. Lally?
No.
Did Mr. Lally put you on the stand without talking to you first?
No. For this trial?
Nope. I'm just, the dates in question are up to April 14th, 2022, at grand jury.
I don't recall.
You don't recall if you met with either Mr. Lally or any of his contemporaries to discuss your potential testimony?
I don't recall meeting with him for that. No, one time I met with him in his office was a couple of weeks ago with this.
In preparation for this testimony?
Correct.
But your testimony now is that he didn't meet with you or you did not connect with him to discuss your testimony before the April grand jury?
I don't recall.
When you did testify in that grand jury, you changed your story, didn't you?
No.
You believe you testified completely consistently at that grand jury as you had in your report?
I testified for what I remember what happened, sir.
I see. Was your memory better in April than it was minutes or hours after the event?
Was it better?
Was it better or worse?
I don't know.
Do you think your memory gets better as time goes on?
Not usually, no.
No. Usually it's the opposite, isn't it?
Yes.
Memories get foggy and they fade.
Yes.
Which is why you write reports the day of the incident, if you can, correct?
Yes.
Do you remember what you testified to at the grand jury in April of 2022?
The whole thing?
No. Sorry. That was a bad question on my part. Just as it relates to statements attributed to my client.
Yes.
What was your exact testimony in April of 2022?
I'd have to look at my...
Would it refresh your recollection if you saw a copy of your...
Sure.
Grand jury transcript? May I approach?
Yes.
Page 18. let me know once you remember, once you review that and tell me if that refreshes your recollection.
Yes, it does.
In fact, on April 14th, 2022, months after this event, for the first time, you said, quote, and this is, these are your words, tell me if I get them right. This is my fault. I don't know. She said, you know, I can't believe this happened. I mean, she kept asking if he was going to die, if he's dead. And, you know, I just basically said, you know, we're doing the best that we could, end quote.
That's correct.
Mayor Roach?
Yes.
So in April of 2022, for the first time, you attributed the phrase, this is my fault, I can't believe this happened, to my client, correct?
That's correct.
But nowhere in your official report did you say that.
Correct? That's correct.
And nowhere in your interview with Trooper Proctor the next day did you say that.
That's correct.
You think that was a pretty important omission on your part?
It was an oversight.
An oversight?
Yes, sir.
That a woman who you made contact with standing over the body of a fallen police officer said to you, this is my fault. Just missed that one. Yes?
Yes, I missed it. Yeah, I didn't write it down.
And then, of course, you testified yesterday and your statement changed again, right?
I don't
remember what you said yesterday, these jurors?
I don't remember, word for word.
Well, I wrote it down. Let's see if this helps.
Yep.
Yesterday you said, that my client said, quote, it's all my fault, I did this, end quote.
Yes.
Remember that? Is that yes?
Yes, sir.
But you didn't say that at the grand jury.
No.
And you didn't say that to Trooper Proctor.
No, sir.
And you didn't put it in your report.
That's correct.
If you were to testify in another 2 or 3 weeks, I think your statement would just keep evolving?
Objection.
Sustained.
Now I want to shift gears for a second and talk about what Ms. Reed actually said that morning. You said that you reviewed your dash cam video, correct?
Once.
Do you remember when you arrived, one of the first things out of your mouth was the question, what happened?
Yes.
That would be a natural question to ask.
Sure.
Yep. Right? You assess the scene and assess the situation.
Absolutely.
And you would want to listen closely to what that answer was, correct?
Sure.
Ms. Reed did, in fact, answer you, didn't she?
I don't recall what she said.
She said, quote, my boyfriend, I left him and he never came home, end quote. Correct?
I don't know. I don't recall.
You agree, we've already agreed, that details matter in any investigation.
Absolutely.
They certainly matter in this investigation, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'd like you to take a look at what's been pre-marked as Exhibit 26. This is about the... This is a... about the 3:50 runtime. I'm not looking at the actual time of day over here. I'm looking at the runtime, which is down at the bottom. So, if Mr. Bates, you could put this up. Can you pause it? Just to orient everybody, does this appear to be your dash cam?
Yes, sir.
Same dash cam you were looking at yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play it, Mr. Bates. Officer Seraph, just like it's not an eye exam, it's not a hearing exam either. I'm going to do the best I can to raise the volume. And Officer Seraph, I want to focus your attention, if you wouldn't mind, on 9 seconds after you say what happened. Just count in your head and listen very, very carefully
sure.
to the woman's voice that responds to what she says. Go ahead. Awesome. Very, very hard to hear. Have you listened to that before?
No.
Does it appear to you that she said, "My boyfriend, I left him and he never came home"?
I couldn't understand anything.
Okay. Let's replay it one more time. I'll turn the volume up one more time right at that moment. Listen for a woman's voice just under.
I'm not hearing what you're saying.
Sorry. I was asking Officer Seraph. Please listen to, there's a din of noise, obviously, road noise, wind noise, etc. It's your dash cam, the audio from your dash cam. Once you close the door, listen very carefully about 9 seconds after you say what happened for a woman's voice and see if you can make out what that voice says.
Sure.
Stop. Did you hear? I left him and he never came home.
I couldn't understand what they were saying.
You couldn't understand that?
No.
Do you want to hear it one more time?
No.
I don't think
No. Turn the lights on, please.
Now, if my client had said, "My boyfriend, I left him, and he never came home," would that be something that you would find important to put in your report?
Objection.
Sustained.
Let's move to another area of the dash cam video. I want to keep playing it at the 28-minute mark, 28-minute and 20-second mark or so.
So can I see Counsel Tsibaugh for just a minute, please?
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.